Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Exodus chapter 4, verses 4 through 10, we see the Lord choosing Moses as the man he will use to lead the Jews out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 4, verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." He's talking about the serpent. "And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry ground, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." So Moses disqualified himself as God's choice because he said, "I'm not eloquent." Well, if Moses wasn't chosen for his eloquence, then why did God choose him? And today we're going to look at several reasons why God chose Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. Moses was God's choice because of these things. Number one, his humility. Look back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. "Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You know, some people would relish the choice. They would relish others knowing that God had picked them to be the leader. And you know, you have to be careful if ever you're asked by your pastor to take on some responsibility in your church. You have to be careful with the idea that he has chosen you because he felt like you were the most qualified. You have to be careful not to let that go to your head. Moses surely didn't let it go to his head. God wanted a humble servant, somebody who wouldn't let this particular opportunity become the main motive for him doing the job. Numbers chapter 20, notice how Moses prayed. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 3, "The people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation," watch it, "and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them." Moses was a humble servant of the Lord, and when he had opportunity to pray for Israel, when God was really after them, he would fall on his face before God and pray to the Lord. God chose Moses because of his humility. But that's not all. He chose Moses because of his boldness, because of his courage. Now, Moses didn't start out with this kind of courage, but he grew into it. Look at Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now, God didn't say anything at all about pestilence or a sword. Moses added that to lighten the blow, if you will, to share in part of the threat if they didn't go out. And that was not a courageous statement. That was not a bold statement. Oftentimes people add things to what God says to apologize for God, if you will, or to share in the problem. Okay, people will say things like, if we don't trust Jesus as our Savior, we're going to go to hell. No, we're not going to hell if we've already trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't have to add that to the statement. The trouble is with the sinner you're talking to. If he doesn't trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's going to hell. Not us. Now, in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 22, the Lord said, this is what you're to tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And Moses wouldn't tell Pharaoh those things that God said. He was scared to at the beginning. But look, at the end, after Moses had gotten going for a little while, he grew into this boldness and courage. In Exodus 8, chapter 8, verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. There was a time when the hail was coming down, and Moses said in Exodus chapter 9, all right, I'll go when I leave, then I'll call off the hail. Moses said in Exodus chapter 9, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord. In other words, he walked right through that hailstorm. And the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. That's a bold man. You get into Exodus chapter 10, and he's really laying it on the line. So God chose Moses because of his humility and because of his boldness. But I'll tell you, there's something else. He chose Moses because of his intercession. Because of his intercession. He besought the Lord on Israel's behalf. And you see this intercession in many places. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse 2. All right. Numbers chapter 11. The people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. God answered his prayer. In Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Verses 46 to 50. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire thereon from the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. So Aaron did what Moses said to do, and he got between the people and the plague and stopped the plague after 14,700 people had died about the matter of Korah. You see, this is the case with Moses. He knew their relationship with God, and whenever they chided God and chided Moses and began to complain, God was coming after them. And many times Moses interceded on their behalf. Psalm 106, verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he should destroy them. Do you ever pray as an intercessor on behalf of other people? Sometimes that God would spare those that might otherwise die, giving them an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I tell you, I don't think Christians are availing themselves nearly as much as we should in prayer for others. We're supposed to be praying for those in authority. I've heard a number of Christians complain about the government, but I don't hear so many of them praying for men in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty, like 1 Timothy chapter 2 says. So Moses wasn't necessarily chosen because he was an eloquent speaker. God wasn't looking for an orator. He was looking for a humble, bold intercessor. And that's what Moses was. A humble, bold intercessor. A man that would stand there as God himself. But I'll tell you another reason why God chose him. He chose him because of his meekness. Look in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I know I'm going through these very quickly, but there are a number of great characteristics here. Number 11, verse 29, Moses said unto them, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." The Spirit that was on Moses was put on 70 elders, and two of them would not show up when they were called before Moses. They stayed in the camp. And you know what happened? They prophesied in the camp anyway. And you know what? Moses said, "Why are you envying? For my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets." In other words, he wanted his Spirit to be put on everybody. That's a great man. Miriam and Aaron in Numbers chapter 12 started fussing with Moses because of his Ethiopian wife. And when they were talking bad about him, the Lord heard it in verse 2. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, that now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. He was the meekest of all. Can you imagine that? And God said, "I want a meek man." Now, what is a meek man? Well, meekness is power under control. Okay? It's not a wimp. A meek person is like a horse, like the best racehorse you've ever seen, who is then subjected to the trainer and subjected to the jockey during the race to run the race exactly the way that the jockey, who is a very small man, by the way, is controlling him to run that race. That's meekness, power under control. Moses was God's choice, not only because of his meekness, but also because of his obedience. Moses did all that the Lord commanded him. Look in Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, and look at verse 16. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 40, verse 16, "Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." All that the Lord commanded him, so did he. You know a remarkable thing about Moses? 86 times the Bible says that Moses did as he was commanded. In Exodus chapter 40 alone, verse 19 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 21 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 23 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 25 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 27 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 29 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 32 says, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 33 says, "So Moses finished the work." Do you see that? Listen, the great failure in Christianity, leadership, is the failure to obey God. It's also a failure in meekness, because there's a lot of power in some of the great spiritual leaders or recognized spiritual leaders of the day, but it's their power. Their power is not under the control of the Spirit of God. And the reason is there's a lack of meekness. Moses was God's choice to lead Israel out of Egypt because of his humility, his boldness, his intercession, his meekness, his obedience, and something else, his faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very famous passage because it's the passage that gives you the brief summary of the great faith of the great champions of the Old Testament. Moses is in that list. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Isn't that amazing? That's a tremendous amount of faith. You think about the things that Moses did with those plagues and the faith that he had that God would not destroy the firstborn by shedding the blood of an innocent lamb and putting it on the doorpost and on the lintel of each house, and the fact that the people would follow his leadership in doing the very thing, bringing in the plagues, bringing in the division of the Red Sea, many, many, many miracles, speaking to a rock that water would flow out, hitting a rock that water would flow out. A great man of faith. Now, that, I'll tell you, it was so necessary because nobody had ever seen the things that Moses had done when he came to lead them out. And they didn't know God to be the Lord until they saw a man of faith believe what God said and then lead them according to that faith. I'll tell you another reason that God chose Moses, because of his fear of God. His fear of God. Look in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is preaching. Acts chapter 7. And look in verse 32. All right, the Bible, speaking of Moses, in Acts chapter 7, verse 32, says, well, let's look at verse 31 for the context. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. This is the burning bush. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. He feared God. Moses trembled and durst not behold. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see another instance of his fear of God. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 21. So terrible was the sight. This is when God gets ready to give the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now here is a man that had a great relationship with the Lord, but I tell you, he never, never took that relationship for granted. I find in my own life, and I'm sure you have too, there are times when we have been upset by something in our lives, by affliction, by a disappointment, by a missed expectation, and we fussed with God over that. Moses would never do such a thing. He held God in such high regard, and he feared God. And, you know, we don't fear God enough today. I just heard a statement made. I'm paraphrasing it because I haven't read the statement yet. I'm getting ready to, by A.W. Tozier. And the point was that men are fussing with the stones and the mortar in the altar and polishing the brass and the utensils. But there's no fire. There's no fire. And part of the reason is no fear of God. To see what modern Christianity is today, it's in shambles because of the lack of the fear of God. People don't tremble at God's words. Moses did. And that's why God chose him. Moses was God's choice also because of his faithfulness. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and look at verse 2. There is a comparison between Moses and his faithfulness and the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses as a servant and Jesus Christ as a son over his own house. Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses was verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Now listen, he was very, very faithful. Nothing stopped him. He didn't stop at the threats of Pharaoh. He didn't stop at the opposition of the magicians. He didn't stop at the murmuring and complaining of the Jews. He didn't stop at the death of all the adults in the wilderness. He didn't stop even with his own disobedience when he struck the rock twice instead of speaking to it and when he was denied the promised land. He stayed with Israel until the Lord took him. He would not leave those Jews in the wilderness until he knew that God had appointed a man, Joshua, to take over for him. God could count on Moses all the way, and God gave him things to write down to the Jews and gave him things to say to the Jews, and Moses wrote and Moses said exactly what God wanted him to write and say. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, Exodus 24, verses 3 through 4, and Exodus 35, 1. God chose Moses because of his faithfulness. And that's not all. He chose Moses because of his leadership. Look in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. He needed a good leader. He needed somebody that men would follow. Numbers chapter 21, and look at verse 32. Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof and drove out the Amorites that were there. In other words, under Moses' leadership, they had a battle. And after they spied out the city and saw how the villages were laid out, they drove out the Amorites that were there. They took over the city. In Numbers chapter 31, in verses 6 and 7, they had to attack the Midianites. The Bible says, Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest, to war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. He was excellent in battle, and his leadership men would follow. Now, you know something? When God chooses a man, he's looking for somebody that's capable to lead. And that's what Moses did. You read military stories and military histories, and the great leaders of companies and great leaders of battalions and regiments are men whom other men would follow to their death, if need be, in any battle situation, because they just gain that much confidence in their leadership of the men that have to follow them. Moses was God's choice also because of his judgment. Look in Numbers 36, verse 5. Because of his judgment, Numbers 36, verse 5, Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, in this particular case, there are some children of Israel that are daughters of Zelophehad. And the question comes up, if they marry the sons of other tribes, the inheritance of their tribe is going to transfer to the inheritance of the tribes into which they marry. And so there was a question as to how to preserve the tribe of daughters in the original inheritance given to the original tribe from which they came. And Moses gave a commandment. And the commandment is, verse 6, this is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. That way the inheritance doesn't pass out of the tribe. Isn't that amazing? And when he commands as the words of God. His judgment is right. He made the right judgment in number 16 regarding Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. And he called them out, and those men died. Listen, he slayed those that were guilty at Baal Peor in Numbers 25. In Exodus 32, he instructed those on the Lord's side to slay everyone his brother after the golden calf was made, and they had the big orgy. In Numbers 15, he judged against the man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And in Leviticus chapter 24, they stoned the man that blasphemed God. All of that according to the judgment of Moses. You know, that guy was a very judicial, just judge. But there's one other reason why God chose Moses, and that's because of his friendship. That's because of his friendship. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, and look at verse 11. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10, the Bible says, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. When Miriam, we've already seen this, and Aaron challenged Moses because of his marriage to the Ethiopian woman, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, the Lord said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak, mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Do you see that? The Lord spoke to Moses, and it was plain. And Moses had the opportunity to be with the Lord and to speak with him face to face, as a man speaketh with his friend. Isn't that something? You say, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, Moses tried to disqualify himself because he wasn't eloquent, because he had a hard time with his speech. And the Lord said, I'm not interested in that. I can take care of the speaking part. I want your humility. I want your boldness. I want your intercession. I want your meekness. I want your obedience and your faith and your fear of God and your faithfulness and your leadership and your judgment and, most of all, your friendship. That's why God chose Moses. And I think, you know, if you were looking for some characteristics in your own life that would be desirable to God to be used by him, these are the things that you ought to concentrate on developing in your life.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.